Hi all, it's the Ghost. Today we're digging into the True Crime Files. I know that we have a lot of true crime fans out there, and you guys are looking into crimes that are happening, unfortunately, every single day. But every now and then, it's good to go back and look at some of the crimes in our past. Sometimes it gives us a new perspective about something, and sometimes we learn something. Today, I'm looking into the True Crime Files of the Jill Dando murder. Jill Dando was a 37-year-old woman when she was murdered outside her West London home. And this happens on April 26th, back in 1999. She had spent the previous night at her fiancé's home in Chiswick, and she was returning to her house in Fulham. It was 11:30, and as she reached her front door, she's shot at close range in the side of the head with a homemade replica of a 9mm semi-automatic pistol. A local resident found her body shortly afterwards, and she was brought to the nearby hospital. However, she's pronounced dead on arrival, and that's at about 1:03 p.m., so less than 2 hours from when she's shot. Jill Dando was buried on May 21st in 1999 at the Clarence Park Baptist Church in Somerset. And then they have a memorial service in September of the same year. Now let's fast forward to the trial, which happens about 2 years after the crime, in January of 2001. The Dando murder trial begins at the Old Bailey in London. After 4 days, the proceedings were adjourned by the judge for unknown reasons, and then the trial resumes in the last week of April 2001, only to be further delayed until May of that year. All right, well, when it's finally underway, before a jury of 5 men and 7 women, the highly publicized trial lasted 5 weeks and sparked a lot of controversy and pivoted around a single piece of forensic evidence. Prosecutors maintained it was the gunpowder residue found on the suspect, George, his clothing, that linked him to the shooting. Now, the defense team dismisses the evidence as unreliable, particularly as it was smaller than 0.5 of an inch in size. Gunpowder residue, if you want to know, is usually not permitted as conclusive evidence, as it has been found to be consistently unreliable due to cross-contamination. Can happen. Prior to the trial, a leading American forensic scientist appears on a program about the Dando murder and slated the use of firearm residue as not specific. In late August of 1999, the Independent, on Sunday, newspaper, had run a story that exposed the questionable status of the evidence. Those who doubted George's guilt maintained that he would not have been capable of committing the crime due to his learning difficulties. Others suggested that he was capable of murder, as he had once been a stuntman. Sally Mason, an acquaintance of George and a witness at the trial, stated that in a conversation she had with George about the Dando murder, he had remarked to her that he had been there. And to police, George had always claimed he wasn't present. So this proves now that he has lied. And what do we know about liars in crime? It's bad. And police really want to, you know, they start taking notice of you a little bit more importantly if they catch you in a lie, because why would you lie about anything around something so important? Well, George maintains that he's innocent and the prosecution can't find any motive for the killing. They also failed to produce the murder weapon or any actual witnesses to this crime. So the jury deliberates for more than 30 hours over 5 days before returning with a verdict. In a majority of 10-1, on Monday, July 2nd, 2001, in a packed courtroom, George, who's 41, was found guilty of murder of Jill Dando and sentenced to life in prison. And while the sentencing is being passed, George just stands there. He's motionless. He's just staring at the judge. George's sister was also there. Her name was Michelle. And she gave an interview outside of the court after her brother had been sentenced. She said she believed the case had been built entirely on circumstantial evidence and that justice had not been served in this case. Well, what happens? Well, in August of 2008, George is acquitted after two appeals and 8 years in jail. His mental disability and his epilepsy gave strength to the defense's argument that he was simply incapable of killing. Maintaining it would have involved detailed planning and specialized bullets. George couldn't do that. His IQ tests place him in the lowest 5% of the population with a score of only 75. Vital evidence linking a minuscule amount of gunpowder residue in George's pocket was cast in doubt when subsequent analysis showed that the residue could have come from other sources. George ends up being cleared of the murder after the evidence against him was proved to be insufficient. Now, this case, though, wasn't solved. That's what this means, and it still remains open. So let's go back and look at this arrest. And we're going to look at it with the question, was it personal or was it political? So bear with me here. On December 10th of 1999, it's reported that a man strolling along the shore of the Thames had found a black 9mm automatic Beretta wrapped in newspaper. And this gun would be similar to the one used in the Dando shooting. The same day, police revealed that it was likely Dando had been shot by a stalker rather than a professional killer. There were certain indicators leading them to this conclusion. And this included the public location of the murder, with nowhere to hide and the lack of a getaway car. There was a strong element of chance, as Dando seldom went to her own house because she was always spending her time at her fiancé's place. While the police never find the murder weapon, they found that not only had the muzzle made contact with the victim, but both the firearm and the ammunition was all homemade. All these factors were contrary to a professional killer's work. The Beretta gun was later found to have no connection to the crime whatsoever. And you know, that's what you might call a coincidence. And in crime, if you're someone that's out there studying all of that, you know that people don't like coincidences. How can it be? Sometimes they do happen, but usually that's a red flag. But here, this is what it appears to be, a coincidence. Well, after a year, the case is reviewed, and a man who had previously been overlooked becomes the new focus. He was known as Barry Bussara, 40 years old, and he doesn't have a job. He's unemployed. He lived half a mile from Dando's home, and his behavior had been described as odd by some of the murder witnesses. Police set up surveillance on Bussara and discovered that he regularly followed women along the street, often right up to their front doors. Based on their findings, along with the witness reports, police arrest him on the 25th of May in 2000, but they withhold his name from the public. A few days after the arrest, they discover he had been known by other names, like Thomas Palmer, Steve Majors, and then they finally learn that his real name was Barry Michael George. George had told acquaintances and neighbors that he assumed false identities due to his work in a high-security government position. Well, this was untrue, as was his claim that he was related to the late Freddie Mercury, the rock group Queen's lead singer, whose original surname was Bulsara. There was little forensic evidence to be found, but in an initial search of George's apartment, police discovered that he had an unusual fascination for the BBC, celebrities, the military, and guns. He had a large collection of books and magazines on those subjects, and police found photographs he had taken from his television of female newsreaders. They also find two articles cut out from the Metro newspaper referring to Dando's death. So George was held in custody for 84 hours, during which time police found a small particle of gunpowder residue in the lining of his coat pocket. It was consistent with gunpowder found at the murder scene and in Dando's hair. Even. Investigators also discovered a strand of fiber at the crime scene that matched the material of a pair of trousers owned by this suspect. So, George appears at the West London Magistrates Court in May of 2000, where police are granted an extension to hold him for further questioning before he's eventually formally charged with the crime. And so the question goes to you, listeners, do you think they had enough to arrest this man? Do you think they should have looked further? All right, well, let's take a look at the investigation. The Dando murder investigation was conducted by the Metropolitan Police, and it continued for more than a year. It actually even had a name, Operation Oxborough, and it was led by Detective Chief Inspector Hamish Campbell. The inquiry involved three teams of detectives and numerous criminologists, psychologists, as well as forensic experts. At the crime scene, a single Remington brand bullet cartridge was found. It was the type used by a rare 9mm semi-automatic Browning pistol. One criminologist working on the case describes this to the BBC News in April of 1999 as the type of gun used by drug dealers and professional criminals. There was much speculation as to the motive for this murder, not least that due to her work with Crime Watch UK, she had possibly angered someone in the criminal underworld. There was also the fact that it was a single shot to the head, favored by professional assassins. Chief Inspector Campbell made a statement to the press in which he says that the killer could either be a stalker or a hitman. I mean, that's a really big range. CCTV footage of Dando's journey to her home on April 26, 1999, suggested that she had not been followed, and nobody knew. I mean, how would anyone know her exact movements that morning? They couldn't find anyone that did. Well, in a sad twist of fate, Dando's murder was reconstructed on Crime Watch UK in an attempt to help police find her killer. It results in the BBC receiving over 500 calls with tips. After a month, the Dando case was re-examined, and Chief Inspector Campbell was replaced by Detective Chief Superintendent Brian Edwards. In the last week of July in 1999, Campbell made a statement that the forensic experts had discovered distinctive markings on the bullet casing found at the scene of the crime. The markings were thought to have been made in order to both hold the bullet in place and to reduce the sound made when it was fired. 6 months into the murder investigation, the police had interviewed over 2,500 people and taken more than 1,000 statements, yet they were still no closer to finding the suspect. Rewards were offered for further information leading to the capture of the Dando killer, with the Sun and Daily Mail newspapers even offering $100,000 each. And even Crime Stoppers got involved. This anonymous telephone hotline, they were offering $50,000. So number one, they went through their process, the police, the investigators. They did come up with one suspect. Do you think enough was done here? Do you think the killer's still out there? Or maybe this person who has mental issues and epilepsy was capable that day of committing that crime? There was no justice in this case. And it brings to your mind how many cases go unsolved like this. You know, we have all these crime shows out there that we love to watch, and we like them because we want to see those people caught. They do have the ones where the crimes are still open, but the majority of the shows that people are watching and tuning into have been solved, and it kind of gives us a false idea of reality that these crimes are actually solved, and we catch the bad guy every time, because we don't. And even the best of investigators can be stumped when something looks like it should be one person, only to find out it's not. What do you do next? And that's our true crime file of the day. Thanks for being here, and thank you for listening. And keep on listening. We always have more stories to share.